Welcome to the Altus Group podcast series, and welcome to part two of our podcast series with Pat Broom, a senior director at Altus Group. And today, Pat's going to be speaking with us about valuations when it comes to retail inventory. And Pat, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks, Matt.
Sure. Thank you, and welcome back. And let's jump right in. So most of your clients are publicly traded and have audited financial statements. Taxpayers are told to render costs. Shouldn't the tax retailers pay on inventory be pretty straightforward then?
You would think, and assessors would think the same thing, but it's really should get looked at a little closer. Many retailers simply do what you just described as they look at their audited financial statements. They say, this is what my general ledger says I have in inventory at these stores, and they go ahead and file it. The difference is what works for GAAP purposes, what works for financial book purposes in terms of inventory accounting is often very different than what the answer the assessors want. And not necessarily what the assessors are getting, but truly what they want when they're asking for the cost to be rendered on a return. So assessors want the costs that are paid that the retailers spend to acquire the goods they are selling. So it's not just for the person who isn't in property tax all the time. They're not asking for what the price tags on the goods are. They want to know what the cost of the individual items are. Inventory accounting is very, very, very different than property tax accounting. So what you really need to do is look at the cost that is going into it, drill down into the inventory accountant's way of arriving at their own cost, and then determining, is that cost indicative of a value? So that's I guess, the first problem that we have here is that assessors are going to take the cost you file and say, okay, that's the value. And that's often not the case. What assessors really should be looking at, and their code specifically states that they should be looking at this, is they want the value that the inventory has and would have if somebody else were going to come in and directly buy the business and continue the business going. So they want to know what the inventory would sell for if, say, a Macy's bought out Kohl's tomorrow. Macy's is going to look at Kohl's inventory and say, okay, I need to know what you've been selling these individual items for, and I want to make sure I can make a good return on my investment. So it's not necessarily what Kohl's paid for the inventory, what Macy's want to pay them for. In fact, it's almost always lower. But they want to see what the return on the investment will be and factor that in when they're considering their purchase price.
Interesting. So is the solution that you come up with for clients, does this work for all retailers?
The premise works. I often tell my clients when I'm just starting up or when we're trying to engage them that I can tell you what the first question is that I'm going to ask your inventory accountants. I can probably tell you what the second one is, but from there all bets are off because every solution kind of needs to be custom made to go to the individual company because there is no one way in which every retailer keeps their books for inventory purposes. Some go based strictly on historic costs they spent. Others use the retail inventory method to account for what costs they think exist. That's two very basic examples, but there's many, many others. So it's a custom solution that each retailer needs, but the general premise is the same. Cost doesn't equal value is the first thing, and then two, you got to make sure that the cost you are reporting is truly the cost you spent on each item that you're calling inventory as of the respective lien date.
So overall, how material can the savings be then?
It's pretty significant when you look at it. I mean, we had one retailer who has kind of inline mall space. So 5,000 square feet, nothing too dramatic, and they're all over the country. There's only, I think, somewhere between 10 and 15 states that tax inventory. So it's not huge, but after we completed this project for them, we lowered their overall property tax liability, not just the ones in the states that tax inventory, but overall property tax liability by 20%. So the fact patterns change per retailer, but I would say on average, you're looking at somewhere between that 10 and 20% reduction in total tax paid. I mean, the inventory doesn't depreciate. So, as a result, the number on the page that you file is often the number you get taxed on. So, and the other part of it is, every retailer is going to have inventory moving forward. So you have a non-depreciating asset that you're always going to have, especially when you start looking at it over a 5 or 10 year period. The amount of money that you save is very, very significant. It definitely gets all of our clients' attention when we tell them, hey, based on what you currently have, here's a number that we think we can save you. That's for sure.
That's great. And what a perfect way to end part two of our podcast series with Pat Broom, who's a senior director at Altus, who was kind enough today to share his insights into valuations when it comes to retail inventory. And Pat, as always, thanks for your time.
Matt, thanks for yours. I enjoyed it.
Likewise.